Chapter 12. The Pike. There was talk of strangeness all across the plains. There was the rowing boat belonging to the old man who lived in a shack just below the waterfall. It rowed itself away so fast, people said, that it skipped over the water like a dragonfly. But there was no one inside it. It was found tied up at Two Shirts, where the river ran under the coach road. But then the overnight mail coach that had been waiting outside the inn ran away by itself, with all the mailbags left behind. The coachman borrowed a horse to give chase and found the coach in the shadow of the chalk, with all the doors open and one horse missing. The horse was returned a couple of days later by a well-dressed young man who said he'd found it wandering. Surprisingly, then, it looked well-fed and groomed. Very, very thick would be the best way to describe the walls of the castle. There were no guards at night because they locked up at 8 o'clock and went home. Instead, there was old Robbins, who'd once been a guard and was now officially the night watchman. But everyone knew he fell asleep in front of the fire by 9. He had an old trumpet that he was supposed to blow if there was an attack, although no one was entirely sure what this would achieve. Roland slept in the Heron Tower because it was up a long flight of steps that his aunts didn't much like climbing. It also had very, very thick walls, and this is just as well, because at 11 o'clock someone stuck a trumpet against his ear and blew on it hard. He leapt out of bed, got caught in the eiderdown, slipped on a mat that covered the freezing stone floor, banged his head on the cupboard, and managed to light a candle with the third desperately struck match. On the little table by his bed was a pair of huge bellows with old Robbins's trumpet stuck in the business end. The room was empty except for the shadows. "I've got a sword, you know," he said, "and I know how to use it." "Ach, ye did already," said a voice from the ceiling. "Chop ye tiny wee pieces in your bed while ye snored like a hog." "Only joking, ye ken. None of us mean ye any harm." There was some hurried whispering in the darkness of the rafters, and then the voice continued, "Wee correction there. Most of us dinna mean ye any harm, but dinna fash yourself about Big Jan. He disna like anybody very much." "Who are you?" "Aye, there you go again, getting it all wrong," said the voice conversationally. "I'm up here and heavily armed, ye ken, while you're doing there in your wee nighty, making a bonny target, and ye think you're the one who asks the questions. So you know how to fight, do ye?" "Yes. So you'll fight monsters to save the big wee hag, will ye?"
"The big wee hag?
That's Tiffany to ye."
"You mean Tiffany Aching? What's happened to her?"
"You'll be ready for her when she needs ye."
"Yes, of course. Who are you?"
"And you know how to fight. I've read the manual of swordsmanship all the way through."
After a few seconds, the voice from the high shadows said,
"Ah, I think I put my finger on a wee flaw in this plan."
There was an armoury across the castle courtyard. It wasn't much of one. There was a suit of armour made of various non-matching pieces, a few swords, a battle axe that no one had ever been able to lift, and a chainmail suit that appeared to have been attacked by extremely strong moths. And there were some wooden dummies on big springs for sword practice. Right now, the Feagles were watching Roland attack one with a great deal of enthusiasm.
"Ach, weel," said Big Jan despondently as Roland leapt about. "If he never meets anything other than bits of wood that dinna fight back, he might be okay."
"He's willing,"
Rob Anybody pointed out, as Roland put his foot against the dummy and tried to tug the sword point out of it.
"Oh, aye," Big Jan looked glum.
"He's got a bonny action, you must admit," said Rob.
Roland succeeded in pulling the sword out of the dummy, which sprang back on its ancient spring and hit him on the head. Blinking a little, the boy looked down at the Feagles. He remembered them from the time he was rescued from the Queen of the Elves. No one who met the Knack Mac Feagles ever forgot them, even if they tried hard. But it was all vague. He'd been near crazy part of the time, and unconscious, and had seen so many strange things that it was hard to know what was real and what wasn't. Now he knew. They were real. Who'd make up a thing like this? Okay. One of them was a cheese that rolled around of its own accord, but nobody was perfect.
"What am I going to have to do, Mr. Anybody?" he asked.
Rob Anybody had been worried about this bit. Words like underworld can give people the wrong idea.
"You must rescue a lady," he said. "Not the big wee hag.
another lady. We can take you to the place where she bides. It's like underground, you ken. She's like sleeping. And all you had to do is bring her up to the surface kind of thing.
Oh, you mean like Orfeo rescuing Unifon from the underworld, said Roland.
Rob Anybody just stared.
It's a myth from Ephebe, Roland went on. It's supposed to be a love story, but it's really a metaphor for the annual return of summer. There's a lot of versions of that story.
They still stared. Feagles have very worrying stares. They're even worse than chickens in that respect. Work.
A metaphor is a kind of lie to help people understand what's true, said Billy Big Chin,
but this didn't help much.
And he won her freedom by playing beautiful music, Roland added. I think he played a lute, or maybe it was a lyre.
Ach, weel, that'll suit us fine, said Daft Willy. We're experts at luting and then lying about it.
They're musical instruments, said Billy Big Chin. He looked up at Roland. Can you play one, mister?
My aunts have a piano, said Roland doubtfully, but I'll get into real trouble if anything happens to it. They'll tear the walls down.
"Sods it is, then," said Rob Anybody, reluctantly.
"Have you never fought against a real person, mister?"
"No. I wanted to practice with the guards, but my aunts won't let them."
"But you have used a sod before?"
Roland looked embarrassed.
"Not lately. Not as such.
Not at all, in fact. My aunts say."
"So, how do you practice?" asked Rob in horror.
"Well, there's a big mirror in my room, you see, and I can practice the actual..."
Roland began, stopping when he saw their expressions.
"Sorry," he added. "I don't think I'm the type you're looking for."
"Oh, I wouldna say that," said Rob Anybody wearily. "According to the Hag o' Hags, you're just a laddie. You just need someone to fight with."
Big Yan, always suspicious, looked at his brother and followed his gaze to the battered suit of armour.
"Oh, aye," he growled. "Weel, I'm no gonna be a knee."
The next day was a good day, right up to the point where it became a tight little bowl of terror. Tiffany got up early and lit the fires. When her mother came down, she was scrubbing the kitchen floor very hard.
Aren't you supposed to do that sort of thing by magic, dear?" said her mother, who'd never really got the hang of what witchcraft was all about.
"No, mum, I'm supposed not to," said Tiffany, still scrubbing.
"But can't you just wave your hand and make all the dirt fly away, then?"
"The trouble is getting the magic to understand what dirt is," said Tiffany, scrubbing hard at a stain.
"I heard of a witch over in Escrow who got it wrong and ended up losing the entire floor and her sandals and nearly a toe."
Mrs. Aching backed away. "I thought you just had to wave your hands about," she mumbled nervously.
"That works," said Tiffany, "but only if you wave them about on the floor with a scrubbing brush."
She finished the floor. She cleaned under the sink. She opened all the cupboards, cleaned them out, and put everything back. She cleaned the table, and then turned it over and cleaned it underneath. She even washed the bottoms of the legs where they touched the floor. It was then that Mrs. Aching went and found things to do somewhere, because this was clearly not just about good housekeeping. It wasn't. As Granny Weatherwax once said, if you wanted to walk around with your head in the air, then you needed to have both feet on the ground. Scrubbing floors, cutting wood, washing clothes, making cheese, these things grounded you, taught you what was real. You could set a small part of your mind to them, giving your thoughts time to line up and settle down. Was she safe here from the Wintersmith? Was here safe from the Wintersmith? Sooner or later, she'd have to face him again, a snowman who thought he was human and had the power of the avalanche. Magic could only slow him down for a while and make him angry. No ordinary weapon would work, and she didn't have many extraordinary ones. Anagramma had gone for him in a rage. Tiffany wished she could be that angry. She'd have to go back and thank her, too. Anagramma was going to be all right, at least. People had seen her turn into a screaming green-skinned monster. They could respect a witch like that. Once you got respect, you'd got everything. She'd have to try to see Roland, too. She didn't know what to say. That was kind of all right, because he wouldn't know what to say either. They could spend whole afternoons together, not knowing what to say. He was probably in the castle right now. As she cleaned under the seat of a chair, she wondered what he was doing.